When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined this week by Donny and Tom. How you doing, Donny?
I'm fine, thank you.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Right, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the podcast, I'll go through the usual housekeeping. FFS Royal Rumble, I haven't updated it yet. I haven't got out yet. I've been busy. I will get that up tonight before the next game week kicks off. So you'll see where you lie before the next game week. And in our own league top three, there has been one bit of change. Melvin storms to the top. He's now at top with 1,935 overall. Scott Payne Fantasy is down to second, and Brendan Goodstake Salesman is down to third. So we'll go through our own points and rank, and then we'll go through the results. So we'll do if we bought the top like to do. So Donny, you go first.
Yep, I'm a bit of a car crash at the moment. So I had 48 points this game week. I took a minus 4, so I ended up on 44. So start at the back, Wickens 1, Captain Taft 12, Sterling 1, Beck 2, McGrath 2, Boyle 2, Miller 6, Riley 3, Shankland 1, Desser 16, Mayovsky 2. So it's been a while since I last did this. I was 379th. I had gone as low as 500, and I'm currently settled on 291. So nowhere near where I'd want to be, but still decent enough, I guess, given the amount of players in the game.
I'm next. So I had 60 points this week. So, Butland 7, Brown off the bench for 1, Tavernier 12, Beck 2, McGrath 2, Vice-Captain Boyle 2, Miller 6, Armstrong 7, O'Reilly 3, Wioski 2, and Desser 16. Could be more if I'd kept my Vice-Captain on Dessers, but I moved, but there we go. Right, Tom, you're flying high, your scoring rank?
I dropped down this week. I'm 35th. This game week I got a total of 41 points. I had Wickens in goals for 1, Yilmaz got me 7, Captain Tav got me 12, Cochrane 1, Devlin 1. In midfield, I had McGrath for 2, O'Reilly for 3, and Luke McCowan got me 9. Up front, Bear got me 2, Shanklin got me 1, and Vice Miowski got 2.
Okay. So I'll go through the scores, and then Tom will come to you for some stats on each game. So on the Saturday kickoffs, with St Mirren 2, St Johnson 0, Ross County 3, Livingston 2, Rangers 5, Hearts 0, Kilmarnock 2, Aberdeen 0, Hibernian 2, Dundee 1, and Sunday game with Motherwell 1, Celtic 3. So over to you, Tom.
Okay, first fixture we've got Hibs 2, Dundee 1. For Hibs, it was Venti that scored a penalty, which was won by Marcondes, and the second goal was Malida with an assist from Venti. For Dundee, it was McCowan that scored. Obviously, Venti's obvious standout in this game with his goal and assist. He had 3 shots on target. He faces Hearts next, but then Ross County, and then a double of Ross County and Livingston again. So Venti's perhaps a striker to keep an eye on. Marcondes, midfielder, still 4.2. We mentioned him last week. He won the penalty and scored a goal last game week, so he's one to keep an eye on. And then Maulida as well, 4.2 million striker. Scored this week. I think he assisted last game week. So another striker to keep an eye on for the time being. I think probably cool off on Hibs just now since they're playing Hearts, and then see who the standouts are in that fixture, and perhaps that'll sort of shape our decisions going in towards the double. For Dundee, I think the only consistent player is Luke McCowan just now. His last six scores have been 3-8, 2-9, 3-9. They face Celtic next and then Kilmarnock before a double of Aberdeen and Rangers. I'm not particularly taken on the Dundee defence just now. I feel like even Beck has kind of went a bit quiet just now. So probably McCowan's the only Dundee player I'd be considering just now. Come to you first on this one, Donny. Anything to add there?
Not particularly. I mean, a good win for Hibs. They've been struggling for form lately. But I think me and Peter had the same train of thought going into this game that Martin Boyle, ideal replacement for Cantwell. His price has dipped to, I think it was 3.9 million. Seemed like a good shout. Peter gave him the vice captaincy, only for Bente to be on pens. So that was a bit gutting, because that probably is one of the main attractions with Boyle, is that whilst he was on penalties, he always offered a threat. So we've got him in the team. There's a double ahead, so I imagine we're both going to hold on to him. Dundee, they're a mixed bag. You get goals, but they also concede. So you're right enough what you say about Beck. Is he worth having? I mean, if you've got him, hold him, because there's probably not much better value out there. But I wouldn't certainly go looking for him like we did in the first half of the season. Fixture-wise, as I say, Dundee have got Celtic and Rangers in their next bank of games. Hibs, once they get past Hearts, they do play Ross County twice, which I guess is appealing. So they're a mixed bag, Hibs. As I say, Boyle was the move. Venti certainly got the headlines that this new guy, Molida, or whatever he's called, he might be one to watch as well. So I wouldn't write them off altogether. I think that double they've got is quite a good one where you would want to target some Hibs players. But a good win nonetheless.
Peter, your thoughts?
Pretty much the exact same, yeah. If I didn't have Beck, I wouldn't be going for him, but I've got him, and they do a double, and I know they play Celtic Rangers, so it's a kind of this bench trick I'll be using that. McGowan's the one who, I think a lot of people went for him in the first double a couple weeks back, and they've held on to him, and he's done really well with returns. My train of thought, same as Donny, Boyle's 3.9 million, you're thinking, good, he's on penalties, get him in a team, nice double coming up, then to find out he's not on penalties, a bit this happening, but it does bring Venti to the front now because of that double, and the team games he's got, so I will give him another game week of the Offaly Edinburgh Derby and see how that looks. And if he's looking sharp and playing 90 minutes, then I think he's an easy move on to bring in for maybe the likes of Mioski, whose form's dipped off, but more on that later. And Boyle will just hold, because I've seen this many times, he can probably pop up against any team. Disappointed he's not on penalties, but I've bought him in now, so he will keep holding to after the double game week.
Next fixture then, we have Kilmarnock 2, Aberdeen 0. For Kilmarnock, it was Ndaba that scored the first with an assist from Armstrong, and then Matty Kennedy got the second with an assist from Vassell. Not looking good for Aberdeen, not even getting a new manager bounce. Even Miowski's struggling. He only had a single shot in this game, which was blocked. It's a bit of a hard to justify holding them just now, given how other strikers are performing better than him. The one caveat is Aberdeen do face St Johnstone at home this next game week, so surely there's got to be some goals in there. The double game week too does make one managers to kind of keep a hold of him for the time being. I'm not too sure. I'll probably hold him for this game week and take it from there. In terms of Kilmarnock, Armstrong back on my watch list. He's got a good run of fixtures after the next game week, right up until the split. The downside is they're probably likely to be in the top half of the table. The problem with Kilmarnock, though, is there's not really been any sort of consistency within the team. Obviously, it was Matty Kennedy that hauled this week with his three shots on target, and then there'll probably be someone else next week. Armstrong's probably the only consideration for me. Defensive-wise, they're not really keeping clean sheets either, so they'll be in a void for the time being. I'll come to you first this time. Peter, what's your thoughts on this fixture?
Well, first of all, Ferd Aberdeen is your man. What's his name again? What's the manager's name? Warnock.
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 Basically, only doing it part-time, 3 days a week. kind of style. So I don't know if that's making, whether that's true or not, it's a different story, but that could probably impact how the players are playing and maybe how they're looking on the pitch. They've got a double coming up, so I'm kind of loath to look greedy, MD. And you say, Tom, they've got St Johnson next at home. So if you've got Majorski, I feel you're looking at it going, it'd be silly to move him out in this fixture. So I think it's one more roll of the dice. With Kilmarnock, I think we're all sleeping on Matty Kennedy. The only thing with Matty Kennedy is most people think Danny Armstrong. And I think we missed this last week, Tom. Maybe you've done it as well, Don. We don't feel like doing a double up in Kilmarnock midfield. It's a bit weird. Mm-hmm. So by having Armstrong, he doesn't want to go to Kennedy. If it's a clean slate, I'd probably like to have Kennedy in. He's really attacking. He looks really good. And I think we all at one point had in Dab at the start of the season, but he's injured. Mm-hmm. A couple of injuries in the team, and he's really, really cheap. If he could stay fit, and with that run coming up that you mentioned, Tom, it'd be a nice, we've been able to let some other players on your team. But the only thing that you mentioned again is they do probably finish the top six, but that's a weeks down the line. You could easily, if they're playing well, the Rangers next, you could maybe avoid this week. But I would steam into them, and then you could come off them after the split. And even if they're fighting for Europe, you may need to come off them because it depends who's in anybody else finishes the top six, out with obviously maybe Celtic Rangers. That's about it.
Yeah. And Donny?
Yeah, so my love for Aberdeen is no secret. I think I've even given them an easy ride this season and you know, put too much faith in that squad. You know, it's not even a surprise result when you think about it. Killy have certainly been the form team this season, and Aberdeen are just a disaster. The fact that Warlock's come in and he's not won a game yet outside of the cup tells you everything you need to know. For Killy, yeah, the names you mentioned, Ndaba, Armstrong, probably looking to have at least one of those in your team. Aberdeen, they do have that fixture tonight. If it was any other team, I would be getting off Miowski. Potentially even with the double on the horizon, but you know, it's one where you think he's due, so you hold the faith. I think if Aberdeen finish in the bottom six, that might be good for them. I remember the last time they were bottom six, they just switched off, like them and Hibs were bottom six, and neither team really did anything to offer value, so we'll just have to wait and see. But a good win for Killy. They've obviously got the league leaders tonight, no tomorrow, so we'll see how they fare there, and then a good run of games thereafter. So just the usual names, I guess, we have to look out for them.
You have to wait a week for that, Tom. Next fixture then, we have Rangers 5, Hearts 0. Diomande scored with an assist from Cortez. Then Cortez scored himself with an assist from Tom Lawrence. Then it was Dessers with an assist from Stuart. Dessers again. And then to round things off, it was Silva with an assist from Lundstrom. Typical Hearts defence lying down to Rangers in this fixture. Shanklin did hit the woodwork. So they did come close to losing the clean sheet. You could argue that but perhaps could be intentional. My Yildmaz shout over shooter pick does continue to haunt me. Quite assured, all the time, shooter has been the most attacking out of the pair, chipping in with assists here and there. Dessers, 3 shots on target, 2 goals. It's kind of hard to ignore him just now. The only downside really is obviously the Europa League will be back up and running soon. A lot of fixture congestion coming up for Rangers, so rotation might be a risk. We don't get any team lineup this week, and I think running up to the split, we only get the Rangers lineup every second game week after that. So 29, 31, and then 33. So not assured of information every week as well does raise a little bit of a concern, but Rangers are playing well, and he's probably the most likely source of goals. In terms of players after that, Cortez had a good game with a goal and an assist. I'm not getting too excited as that was his first goal and first assist so far. So as it stands for me, it's probably Captain Tavernier, Suter and Dessers are probably the 3 Rangers players to have, in my opinion. But I'd be interested to hear what you guys have got to say on that one. I'll come to you first this time, Donny. What's your thoughts?
So it was going into the game, it was the two most informed teams in the league. Hearts had taken 28 points out of 30, and I think Rangers were 27 points out of 30. So 5-0 was a phenomenal result. And as a Rangers fan, I think it's been coming for some time now that a team were going to get battered. I'm just surprised it was Hearts, because you know, they have been pretty decent. Anyone who's watched the game or seen the highlights, it was 5-0 going on 10, and Rangers were never in trouble. And to score as early as the second minute just took all the steam out of Hearts. What is pleasing is that all the January signings have now got on the goal sheets. So that's good. And I think as far as the midfield goes, it's, you know, you could pick any one of those midfielders and they're going to come up good. So take from that what you will. Bessers, I know, is at a talking point every week, but he's hot, he's scoring goals. You know, you don't want to miss out on that. If he is rotated, then so be it. We'll all miss out together, I guess, is the way to look at it. But for me, he's first pick, as long as he keeps scoring. So that would be my train of thought. The defence harkens back to the 55 season when you were getting clean sheets week in, week out. So whether it's Suter, Goldson, Butland, I think any of those combinations will suit you well. Suter's assist for the third goal. Oh, what a cross, by the way. Looking forward to seeing some more of that. For Hearts, you just have to write this game off. As I say, the 28 points out of 30 going into this game. They've got Hibs next, which you know they generally play well. In the derby, and then Celtic, I'm sure they'll get a clean sheet there too. So no reason to move off of Shankland. I don't have any Hearts defence just because I needed to free up budget, but it has been pretty good over the course of the season. And I know Forrest has been playing pretty well as well. So great win for Rangers, good mixed bag of goal scorers. I mean, the fact that Tavernier never got close with goals or assists, and we won 5-0, I guess, is another pleasing thing. So, yeah, top of the league, riding high, no complaints.
Yeah.
Is that saved up for a fortnight? Right. Anyway, Tony covered it all. I've only saw a quick highlight, so I really wouldn't add much more to the game wise. This is why I asked only a couple of questions why I've got in the Rangers situation. Is that Suter now the guaranteed other centre back, you think?
Probably not. I think the Kilmarnock game, yes, because Balogun's got this facial injury and he's wearing a mask, so he won't get back straight away. But once the European fixtures come round, I think you could see rotation. But it's his to lose, I would say.
Right, and I've also got the Rangers double up at the back. Tavernier on, which is turning well. And the only concern is, I mentioned that on a text, like the Mondays, 4.3 million or something, yeah. Right? And Cantwell's out. Is he playing quite attacking, or is he...
Not really. I guess it's deceptive because he scored twice in 2 weeks. He's playing I wouldn't say it's the number 10 role that Cantwell had, but because the way they attack,
one back,
just picked up the loose ball, and it was, you know, two shots, left foot and right foot, and they both went in. So I doubt you'll get that every week. But he will be a regular pick. He's just probably scored two goals. You might not see another two goals for the rest of the season.
Right, okay. I agree with you at Esser's point. Obviously, he's playing well. He's on fire. I ignored my own rule at the weekend. You should be vice-captain,
yeah.
Rangers striker at home.
Same here.
And because it's Esser's, I mean, he's not guaranteed and he's a bit hot and cold. And I left it where I should have stayed on it. And one other thing I would bring up for them to think about it is they're making a lot of early subs in midfield. So, you know, you keep the squad fresh. So you do run the risk of, like, example, there's McLaughlin came off 56 minutes. So you had nothing there, and then the money's off 10 minutes later, so you do.
Yeah, I took in Sterling this week for very similar reasons. Okay, he's a defender in the game, but he is playing in midfield, so I thought I'd try a sneaky one and put him in my team, but you got hooked after 56 minutes, yep. So of course you don't get any of the points.
That's the only thing I'd air caution on people thinking they get a cheeky midfielder in there, and especially with Europe starting again and more rotation. But apart from that, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm not on Hearts because Hearts were rotten.
Next fixture, Ross County 3, Livingston 2. For Ross County, it was Brophy that scored a brace, both goals assisted by Simon Murray, and then Sims scored at the end with an assist from Jordan White. For Livingston, it was Bruce Anderson that got a brace. One goal was assisted by Yengi. Brophy, 3 shots on target and hit the woodwork, so it could have been a hat-trick for him. Him and Simon Murray are linking up well. Murray scored the goal against Rangers the other week with Brophy assisting. So they're probably the only two players I would consider. Defensive-wise, they've been poor, and James Brown has went awfully quiet recently as well. Ross County's fixtures aren't too bad. They've got St Mirren, Hibs, and then a double game week of Hibs and Hearts. Both fixtures are at home, so you could argue if they continue this kind of attacking form, then Brophy or even Simon Murray might be a consideration again. In terms of Livingston, Bruce Anderson Brace, he kind of pops up every now and again with a haul, but for $5 million, he's not one I'd be willing to bet on, particularly with Livingston's general form. Livingston are probably a team that I would avoid until things, if things change or turn around, then perhaps a consideration, but complete avoid for me. Peter, what's your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, good one for Ross County. They looked really attacking, but it's funny, it's probably two bums fighting in the street, two worst teams in the league, probably. Livingston, Anderson, I don't see, he's just gone in. I don't really, it is, every so often he'll do this, but I don't think there's any legs there and they're terrible. Maybe want to keep in the back of the head in case in the bottom six and they're fighting their hand and he's guaranteed game. I say that same with Ross County. I don't really, they've got a double. They're at home, fair enough. Brophy Murray came alive, but I just don't trust them. If they start churning out results like this more often than in the bottom six, then maybe I might take a sneaky point one of these strikers. Brown, you mentioned, lost his place this week, so I'd just kept him all the way through because he's got a double and now he's been dropped. We're all seeing team news tonight, so I don't know if it's a one-off. If he stays, then I'll keep a hold of him. And if he's out of the team for good, then I will get shot him. Because I did know after that transfer window, they do have three fit right-backs now, so rotation could be a risk. And I'd rather just go somewhere else, like an Indaba or a Divine Motherwell, some other sheep strike defender to come in their place. But if not to add, I think we've seen it pretty much every game week. We don't go there, pretty much.
Yep. Donnie, anything to add there?
No, not really. The two don't go there teams meeting head-to-head, and surprise, surprise, there's no real standouts. Even with the double, you know, to pin your hopes on Ross County is a big ask. And I'm sure there'll be other better fixtures around come that game week. And Livingston, they probably needed to win that one to give themselves any chance. They didn't. So again, they're deep in trouble now. So, I mean, a good win for Ross County, but for fantasy players, there's nothing there of any value.
No. Another fixture then. St Mirren 2, St Johnston 0. First goal was a Mitov own goal. And then Mandron got the second. Mandron also hit the woodwork, so could have been a couple of goals there. Been on decent form. His last four scores are 9-9, nothing, and then 13. Nice fixtures coming up as well. Ross County next, and then Aberdeen. So perhaps another striker to put on the watch list there, or maybe even get him in. He's probably the only St Mirren player I'd consider at this point. He could also be particularly good if St Mirren finish in the bottom half as well. But as it stands, they're 8 points clear of Hibs, who are in seventh place. So maybe not one to bank on that. For St Johnston, still in a void for me. Wouldn't be going there. Other than that, probably not a lot to report in this fixture. Donny, come to you first this time.
Yeah, St Mirren, that's 3 wins out of 4 now, but it still doesn't really excite you. There's nothing there that really pings out other than Mandron, which, you know, he's up against some big names that are kind of scoring goals at the moment. So do you take that risk? St Johnston, just a clean avoid. They're not going to score. They're not going to get too many clean sheets. Fixtures aren't great. So that's a stay away from me. But St Mirren just silently ticking along every week, kind of getting overlooked. For no real reason other than they're just not that glamorous a team, but a good win. So yeah, can't say more than that.
Peter, anything to add to that one?
No, not much. St Johnston's a complete avoid. I've seen a lot of the St Johnston fan accounts and they've started kind of slightly turn on Levine's tactics. I think there was a heat graph online that showed it was like the old, remember the 6-4-0 against Scotland game? It was like, that's who he was playing. He was very, very defensive, obviously trying to catch the break. Mandron's went under the radar yet. We've mentioned him a few times in this pod. I did see him in a few teams of top 20-30, so some people have made the move and it's paid off for them. I just, as you've said before, there's other strikers there who have been doing better. And maybe longer, and that's affected your judgment. And again, it is Donny Sanders kind of unsexy team to pick from. So, and for us, quite a while, I think there was a scoring for all over the pitch. There was a lot of different, so you couldn't really pin it on somebody until Mandarins appeared. So if you went there, well done. If you held Tanzer at the back, again, well done. Or one of the keepers, but I really don't know much to add. I think they'll tick away nicely at Donny Sage. If he, I think some of their assets are quite expensive. That's the reason as well. They're quite the same price as a lot of other teams. So you're kind of not looking for the cheap enablers, especially midfield. So for me, it's a pass for now, but I'll keep Mander on it. If he gets more guaranteed game time and he's on hot, strong, like, but it's going to be hard to ignore him any longer.
Mm-hmm. That brings us to our final fixture then. Motherwell 1, Celtic 3. For Motherwell, it was Spittle that scored with an assist from Miller. For Celtic, Ida got a brace with assists from Greg Taylor and Johnston. And then the third goal was scored by Palmer with an assist from Yang. Kyogo was took off at half-time. I think he's got to be in a void for now, which is good because it's handy to have a striker out of the equation for the time being. I'm starting to consider Ida, though, as a potential Celtic option. Celtic are at home to Dundee next, so could be potentially some goals there, particularly now that they're behind Rangers in terms of points. They'll need to come out attacking for that one. In terms of other Celtic assets, Johnston looking decent, 5 key passes. He created 2 big chances. His form over the last 6 is decent, with he's got 2, 6, 15, 2, 3 and 7. So not bad there, particularly if Celtic can maybe start to keep a few clean sheets now that it looks like Carter Vickers is going to be back imminently. Other Celtic players to consider, O'Reilly, he could be moved out potentially of my team. He's not scored higher than 4 points since game week 22. However, as mentioned previously, Dundee at home next, you've got to give him a chance. And obviously, more other fires to put out in the team for the time being, Bernardo, for example, for me. Motherwell, obviously, hard to judge in a fixture like this. Bear has been decent. And then Spittle is coming back into form as well. He's been getting a few goals and assists recently, so a midfielder to consider going forward. Livingston away is the next fixture, but then Rangers, Aberdeen after that. Well, Aberdeen's form hasn't been great either, so Spittle's definitely on the radar for the time being. I'll come to you first this time, Peter. What's your thoughts on this game? Did you watch it?
The first half was a painful watch. Second half, I played much better, so it was decent then. Spittle shout, I like Spittle, but I also like Miller, who I think has grown into, he looks even more better than I see him play live. He's so cheap. Again, I wouldn't double up, so I'll just stick with Miller, so he's an enabler. Obviously, I got off the bench this week with an assist, so I'll take that. The Celtic situation with Furuhashi, I believe Roger actually came out and said that he was struggling to get in the game with these blocks, so that's why I went Ida instead. So I don't see Ida getting dropped after coming on scoring 2 goals, so if anyone wants to take a cheeky punt this week, I think he'll go there. I'm different with you. I wouldn't go Celtic defence. I just don't think they're guaranteed to keep clean sheets. I know Carter Vickers back, but until I see a runner, 2 or 3 games, then go there. Otherwise, I wouldn't. And personally, I'd like to see Liam Scales kicked into the moon, because I just don't be watching play football, man. Oh, my God. The midfielders, you can really only rely probably on McGregor to tick along. You said O'Reilly's been quite quiet, so he's on the chopping block. And don't go for the wingers, because the wingers are getting rotated something awful, because nobody's grabbing a position for themselves. So if you're looking at it there, I'm kind of not really selling it to you fantasy-wise. It would just be Ida as a punt, and I would hold O'Reilly for this game.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
But apart from that, I haven't been going really anywhere now. I think there's value elsewhere until you see improvement in the back line, at least.
Yep. Donny, anything to add there?
I'm in a routine win for Celtic. I'm sure you guys weren't worried at any point whatsoever.
We never stopped.
I was so confident I stuck 20 quid on Celtic to win at half time. So that was 56 quid back. There was never a doubt that they were going to win that game. But had the drawn or lost, then that's £20 well spent in my eyes. Anyway, yeah, no, Celtic are on a run, you know, losing the first goal. I've seen it over the years with Rangers. It eventually comes back to haunt you, your ruck will run out. But it's four games in a row now that Celtic have failed to keep a clean sheet. So whilst the fullbacks are contributing from an attacking point of view, the defensive returns are not so good. And you've got Dundee, who are pretty free scoring, Hearts, that are pretty free scoring before St Johnstone. I would probably just stay away. There is a question on O'Reilly, so I'll just stay clear of that one. Spittle, Miller, yeah, if you've got Spittle, keep him. If you've got Miller, keep him. You're not going to double up on the Motherwell midfield. I've got Miller, similar to Peter, he's just so cheap. He was coming back from injury. I think that was his first start. So we should see more of him between now and the end of the season. Ida is my next move. Whether I do it tonight or I'll wait till the weekend, I'll just see how I feel. But that is, you know, he is scoring, and as bad as Celtic have been, everything's been through him. He's on penalties also, so it ticks all the boxes there. So whilst the form might not be good, the returns will be there. But probably was a bit gutted that they snatched it at the end, but you just got to expect it. I'm sure Dundee Hearts will prove stiffer opponents in the next couple of game weeks. Time will tell.
Mm-hmm. And just to round things off, we have the top 10. Coming in at number one, Brophy with 16 points, obviously a forward. Dessers, 16 points, another forward. Venti, another forward with 14. Ida, another forward with 14. Ndaba, the Kilmarnock defender, comes in with 13 points. Mandron, that we've mentioned, 13 points, another forward there. Bruce Anderson, 13 points, forward at Livingston. Matty Kennedy, the Kilmarnock player that we like the look of, comes in with 12. And Suter with 10. The only one of two defenders. If you look at the numbers, no goalkeepers, two defenders, one midfielder, and seven forwards. So a bit skewed this week. Forwards, obviously the top scorers. Anything that stands out there?
Not for me. Again, if you get the vice captaincy right, you can double up. I've missed out, but most of those names have certainly not been on my radar. It's just one of those game weeks.
Yep, with a couple of them. Yeah. Like Donnie said, there's a few braces this week, so if you manage to catch a brace with vice captain, you've done really well going forward. Okay. Right, Donnie, you've got a die for us this week. So
we're going to look at form. I've not been feeling too great the last week and a half, so I've not spent a lot of time looking at the stats. So I did this at the first half of the season, courtesy of Kevin Woods at Kevilfish on Twitter. I'm going to look at the last four game weeks and see where the form is across each position and see if we can sort of take anything from that. So we'll start at the back. It's not a position that we tend to change too much over the course of a season, but in the last four games, who do you think the top goalkeeper is, Peter? Go with you.
Hey, Butland.
Butland's coming in at number three, but you might say that. He's at 18 points in the last four games. So there's two keepers that are better than Butland at the moment. Tom, do you want to have a stab?
Not any clean sheets.
Yeah, both had clean sheets at the weekend.
Hemming's
the top, so he's got 21 points from his last four games. We've got Will Dennis at Kilmarnock. He's got 20 points. And fourth was Shamal George with 17 points. So, as I say, it's not a position that we really look at. The Butland owners, we've known that for weeks now, that is... been a rich points return, and Hemming was, you know, he's the kind of set and forget keeper that you might punt for at the start of the season. So no real new information on that one. So we'll move into defence. Again, the last four game weeks, Tom, who's been the best returning defender? As if I need to ask.
Tavernier,
yeah. So we'll go for one of the others.
Suter.
Suter is at number three. So we've got three others in there that, you know, it's probably not ones that you would expect. Tom, do you want to have a stab? Sorry?
Johnston at Celtic.
It's a bit of a stretch, that one. No.
Because you mentioned Hemming and Wales St. Mirren, so Tanzer.
Yeah, Tanzer's in there at number four, 28 points. So it was Tavernier, 43 points. George Ghent at Motherwell, 29 points. Suter on 28 points, Tanzer 28 points, and Mayo was the other one, 23 points. So these things can skew if a defender scores. It does kind of spike it a little bit. But yeah, no real surprise that Tavernier's in there. Suter, as you said, it's his position to lose at the moment. So whether it's Tav Butland, Tav Suter, you're going to get returns there. Tanzer, Mayo, they're names that we generally talk about over the course of the season as well. So moving into the middle, now this is where I think there is a problem in the game at the moment because there's no real standouts. So midfield over the last four games, Peter, who do you think's top?
I don't know who's going to be top, just because he ticks along nicely. Armstrong.
Armstrong's no, he's not in the top. What have I done? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And Armstrong's not in there at all. Tom, do you have a stab?
Yeah, I think Luke McCowan will be in there.
McCowan's number two, 23 Spittle. Points. Spittle's your number one, 32 points. I've got three others. Diamandis. Yeah, he's in there. Two others.
I'm not getting a guess here. Tom's taking them all.
I know. Go for it, Peter.
I'll finish it, Tom.
Jump back in, go in.
No, you're 33. Continue, go.
Even though he was rotated, I think... Forest at Hearts.
Yep. I doubt you'll get the clue sleep, but I'll give you a shot at it.
I think I know who this one is.
Is it Marconde? Is it Hibs?
No. Peter?
McGrath?
No. Oh. Boyd Muntz at St Mirren.
Never guessed that in a million years.
No, exactly. That one. So Spittle 32 points, then McCowan on 23, Forrest, Diamandis, Boyd Muntz 21. So that's where the value is at the moment. And what I really took from that is it was just a mixed bag. Not really any start. I suppose Spittle and McCowan we mentioned. Forrest has probably gone under the radar because you had the likes of Cantwell ticking over in there. Quite startling that we've covered off three positions and Celtic are not mentioned. I mean, that just goes to show how bad out of form they are. For Rangers, it's worth noting that Lundstrom, Cortez and Cantwell were just outside of these point scorers. So, as I was saying, any midfielder for Rangers is getting returns at the moment, which is quite good. So, up top, will we get our first sniff at a Celtic player? Peter, who's the most in form?
Yeah, top five?
One, two, yeah, we've got top five.
The last four game weeks?
Yep.
Right, well, either's one of them then.
He is one. He's not the top. He's sitting second on 35 points from those games. So, Tom, a chance to get the top scorer?
Dessers.
Dessers is at number three on 34 points.
Bear
is at number five for 28 points.
Mandron
is number four with 31 points. He's still missed the top one. I know he didn't score at the weekend, but he's the top goal scorer in the league.
Shankland
37 points. So Shankland hanging in at the top there, as I say, our first sight of a Celtic player, Ida, which, you know, if you are looking to move, that's to me where you should be thinking of putting your chips in there. Dessers, you know, he's had a lot of stick over the course of the season, but he is scoring, so I would just keep a hold of that. And Mandron and Bear, in terms of your budget forwards, Bears maybe just starting to come off form, Mandron's maybe hitting form. So if you look at the fixtures, then St Mirren might be worth a punt there. So that's all the positions covered. Rangers and St Mirren are the only teams represented in every area of those stats, which, okay, Rangers are top of the league, you're going to expect that. But St Mirren, as I say, we don't talk about them enough. And there they are. They've got a good keeper, a good defender, somebody midfield, somebody up front. So the value is there. Ross County, St Johnston, Aberdeen, Hibs. I'm sorry if you support any of those teams because they don't have anyone in any positions. So again, that's the struggles that they have. Having spent time looking at it and getting it all written down, to me, it kind of shows that the game is still in the balance. Normally at this point in the season, teams are very similar and there's very little movement, but I think there's that many differentials, you know, even in midfield, that if you've got a couple there that score or you get the right bike captaincy, I think you can get some good rank rises out of that. Anything out of those that made you think or you might make transfers in the next couple of weeks, Peter?
Just we mentioned St Mirren a couple of times, how they're actually on the radar. We never really cover them that much, and they are ticking along nicely. I like to use Kevil Fish's thing because it's good to let you know who's in form. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just go, who's he appeared for on a team who's keeping clean sheets, for example, and maybe you see a cheap defender that nobody's jumped on, and it's like, it's good to do that. I like that.
Yeah. Like Taylor and Johnson at Celtic, you think they're good players. They're playing for Celtic. They must be getting decent returns, and they're not even close over the last four game weeks because they've not kept any clean sheets. So it is good to just see what's happening. Tom, anything in there that you've still got a wild card to use at some point? Is there any of those names?
Just the fact that St Mirren have been kind of flying under the radar there. I'll have to check out Boyd Munch.
we've probably jinxed it for St Mirren. Who have they got up next? Ross County, Kilmarnock. Apologies if they don't get a good result tonight, but they have got some decent players. So yeah, Kevin Wood, Kevin Fisher on Twitter, he supplies that data. I just spit it out, so much appreciated. And as I say, I think at this point in the season there's still a lot to aim for and getting your team, so good luck.
Good, that was excellent, Barry. Right, we'll move on to questions then. So we've got six questions, I think. We'll start from top to bottom. You mentioned it already, Don, you've covered it a wee bit, but I'll ask again anyway. So Michael Scott at Yala Leopard, Diamondi, Cortez or Lundstrom to replace Catwell or avoid and go elsewhere?
No, I think you could pick any one of those and come up good. Cortez seems like a decent player that might contribute more than the others because they play centrally. Lundstrom will just tick over week on week. You're going to get three, four, if not more points on him every game week. Diomande, as I say, he scored twice in 2 weeks. Whether that's him at his best or he's just got lucky, I'm not sure. But the Rangers midfield is value for points. And I can't see you going wrong with any of these names.
Any add, Tom?
No, just I quite like Lundstrom. He always seems to tick along nicely and he's in with the goals. He seems to do well when Cantwell's not there. So I quite like Lundstrom out of those guys. The other guys are a little bit unproven for the time.
Yeah.
It depends on the kind of manager you think you're. If you like to go for the more attacking player, Cortez would be the one. If you like just to be safe for minutes, and it would be Lundstrom for me. I need to see more Diomande. That's why I asked that question. I wanted to know how far up he was playing and if he was going to get there. So I need to keep an eye on him in the highlights of the weeks because he's so cheap. I mean, you can get him in without really having to worry about your budget. Yep. Next up is from FPL Liga. Hi, chaps. Loving the pods always. Thank you. I'm stuck on my vice captain choice this week. I feel it's likely between Shankland and Majorski, but can't decide between the two. So do that question first. I'll start. I think Shankland leads a goal against Hibs. If I had an option, it would be Shankland. I'd go for agreed on it. Or
yeah, I think. I mean, I went Majorski the weekend and it blew up in my face. It's the plum fixture for somebody who's due a goal, but I think the derby, you know, penalties, last minute winners, he's got the knack when it comes to goals against Hibs. So yeah, I think we should probably go there.
You agree, Tom? Shankland over Majorski, if that's his options.
Yeah. Though if he's trying to gain ground, he could go with the Majorski and hope that Shankland stays quiet. You'd imagine, surely, at home at St Johnston, given their form, you'd think Majorski would get a goal. Aberdeen haven't been in great form for a lot of the season, and Majorski still kind of chips in. Is it just him that's just having a dry spell? I don't know. But yeah, Shankland probably the safer option of the two, I think.
And his second question is, after his heroics, will Dessers be benched against Kelly? Donny, you don't know.
No idea. No idea. There's no way to know. If you've got them, hold them. If you don't have them, then wait till the weekend because you'll get team news. But he's in form, scoring goals. To me, he starts tomorrow against Kelly.
Yeah, I think this is a guessing game. Agreed, Tom?
There's a few things that kind of... You could argue that he plays against Kilmarnock, gets rested for Motherwell, so he's fresh for the European fixture middle of next week. However, away to Kilmarnock, they have a plastic pitch. Will he be risked? Given, you know, playing on these plastic pitches, you're slightly more prone to injury. I don't know. And then, you know, a nice run out at home against Motherwell's not too bad. Keep him fresh. For the European game the following week, I don't know. It's a tricky one. Bottom line is you don't know, so just take that knowledge and do what you like with it.
So we didn't answer it. We don't really know. They've got options. He's coming off the bench as well. He could come off. Depends how the game goes. If Rangers are winning comfortably, he could be subbed without scoring. So it's just you're on the risk. Mm-hmm. It's how you want to manage the game. Right, next up is from FPL Bacon. I have Shanks, Bea, and Majorski up front, but I want to make a move for Dessers. With 1.1 million in my bank, my only look is via Shanks or Majorski. Is it time to dump Majorski or roll the free transfer to get Dessers next week? Now, I think we're all getting different answers here. Majorski this week gets Johnston at home, but the form's poor, so you take a risk. You won't see Dessers in the team, so you take a risk there. I wouldn't get rid of Shanks. I think Shanks is a season keeper now. That's where I would look at it. So, it's how you want to play the game. I'm thinking Majorski to either this week, potentially. So, it's the upside for what I think. But then again, I know what's going to happen. It happens all the time. Majorski's going to score. But it's a risky take going forward. What's your thoughts, Tom? What would you do in that situation he's got there?
I've got the exact same front three. So, it's something I'm considering as well. I've got enough to go from Bear straight to Dessers, so I could potentially do that, but Motherwell playing against Livingston who are pretty crappy form, and Bear's been in decent form. It's just obviously not fresh in our minds because they played Celtic most recently. If I was him, I'd be tempted to roll the transfer and hoping that the striker that he keeps matches Dessers roughly, and then you've got two free transfers the following week. You can get Dessers in, and then you can use the other one to sort of try and get prepared for the double game week with another game week's worth of data. So that's a possibility as well. But if you're desperate for Dessers, then it's probably got to be, you probably just got to get rid of Miowski and just hope that nothing happens against St Johnstone and just hope that Aberdeen continue their form, which is poor.
Would you do the situation, Donny?
I would hold. Just, you don't have enough data to say that Dessers will start. You will at the weekend. I think the fixtures that you've got for Hearts and Aberdeen are favourable. You could, move Miowski on and then Dessers doesn't start and then you want Miowski back for the double game week. I think just leaving it is enough. Plus, it's a midweek game, so if it doesn't work out, you've only got a couple more days and you can change it again. I never feel too bad about midweek games when they come. But if I was Tom, I would make the move because he's got the money to do it. But in this situation, if I didn't have the money to move, I would wait. And as I say, just cross your fingers that Dessers doesn't go wild more than the other two.
Right, next up is from FPL Swanson. Best Hibs player to target ahead of a double. Dom, you mentioned Venti earlier on. Venti, anybody else to add to that list?
Venti, Marcondes, or Malida are probably the three standouts just now. They're not really keeping clean sheets, so I'd probably stay away from the defence. I'm not as struck on Boyle as you guys this season. I still think he's dining out on previous season's successes, and he's not one I would be considering, but it'd just be those three for me. Attacking players.
Do you want to aim to add? Interested in a Martin Boyle?
Well, I do have Boyle written down, so I'm not gonna hide that one. But no, I think Tom is right. The fact that he's not on penalties now takes away probably the only big plus he had against his name. But Venti and Malida is the other two names I've got written down. It's actually pretty depressing when you filter it by the Hibs team. There's nothing really jumping out at you, which is kind of reflective on their league position. But the fixtures are good, but you would want at least one or two of those names in your squad come that two games.
Yep. As I said, I think Tom's name is probably the first in if I didn't have Boyle, but I've got him, so I need to drop him. But I'm probably, if any point is the one I'm interested in, we always like to go with players that are penalty takers. He's on penalties, double fixtures, a good double fixtures as well. So he's the one I think I'd be bringing in for that double.
Next, it's going to be hard though, because you're going to have like a lot of people are potentially moving for Ida, Dessers, and Shanklin. So which one do you drop to get Venti in for that week as well? That's a tricky one.
I have to wait and see. So a lot of things can happen up to that point. I mean, because I could easily just take a punt on Dessers for 1 week and hope the rotation, then come back to him after a double. It's not something you can do. Play the fixtures, two home fixtures, penalty taker, then come back. But then you know what would happen. It's always going to happen. When the player you come off, the player that goes nuts. Right, next up is from Tommy at T-Forest55. We've covered this, actually. Is it time to get rid of Matt O'Reilly as he hasn't returned since game week 22? Tom?
I'd hold him for the Dundee game and see what happens there. The fixture after that, they're away at Hearts, so potentially tough. They've got a couple of nice fixtures after that. St Johnstone at home and Livingston away. And then it's the game against Rangers. So I'd hold for one more week. And then if not, then potentially you could get rid if he doesn't perform.
I agree. I'm one more week. See how he looks. See how he's playing. And then I'll value after that. Donny, Matt O'Reilly, you still hold him?
Yeah, I'll just keep a hold of him. I mean, I know I talked about the in-form midfielders there with Spittle, McCowan. That's the kind of players that you'd be looking at. I'd rather have a Celtic midfielder. Okay, they're not playing Welsh now, but that can change at any time. So I'll just hold on to him. And to be honest, I can't see me ever selling him unless he gets injured. So that's where I am.
He does play the tip of the midfield three, so he's more likely to be involved. But it's just, you've seen these scores come out of the week to get players like Spittle and doing other things. So you're kind of, but as you said, I like to have one player. And the last question is from Three Sticks. Is Ida now essential? I don't like using that word in this game, essentially. The only player I think ever been essential is probably Tav. Maybe Shankland to an extent this season. But if he starts and he scores and he keeps scoring, then yeah, maybe. But when he's got Furuhashi there and he's got O there, I think it's hard to see he's essential. With a lot of games coming up, I can see some still rotation depending on who they're playing. What do you think, Tom? Is Ida essential?
Nah, you couldn't throw that term at him yet. I think this is the first game that he scored from open play. His previous two goals were penalties. So is it just a flash in the pan, or is he going to start hitting form? We're yet to see that. So I don't think essential. I think he's definitely a player that you could consider for this game week. Or worst case scenario, he's on your watch list. But I wouldn't say essential just now.
Okay, that concludes the questions. So I'll read out the fixtures, then we'll get your captain, vice-captain and transfer thoughts. So it kicks off tonight, if you listen to this podcast on a Tuesday. You only get one games team in the news, so it'll be Ross County St Mirren, Tuesday, 8 o'clock. The rest of you must be guessing. So Wednesday night, we have Kilmarnock Rangers, Hearts Hibs, Celtic Dundee, Aberdeen St Johnstone and Livingston Motherwell. So upon hearing those fixtures, Tom, what is your captain, vice-captain and any transfer plans?
Captain Tav, Vice Captain Shankland. I really don't know what to do with my transfer this week. I'm slightly tempted to roll, and then I'll have two transfers, another week's worth of data to prepare for the double game week. Alternatively, Bear to Dessers could be a move.
Okay, what's your thoughts, Tony?
That's it.
Captain Tav, Vice Captain Shankland, and I'm going to roll. There's just not enough data. The Ross County St Mirren team news isn't going to change any of your plans. The weekend, you get everybody's team news apart from Celtic Hearts, so having two free transfers makes a lot more sense to roll. So I'll roll. And Captain Tav, Vice Captain Shankland.
Yep, I tend to agree. I've got Tavernier, captain, vice-captain, Shankland. I was going to get the Mioski for Ida, but I think that fixture just knocked me right in the face. If I take him out, he's going to score. The only one concern I've got on the bench now is Brown, if he lost his place. So if he is not playing against Ross County, no, he's not playing against, sorry, St Mirren, then I need to get him out anyway, so why not do it a week earlier rather than I'll just do it next week. So it's all right, same role of transfer. I've been using the exact same transfer, rather than the same guy because he's not playing, so I would need to bring an alternative at the exact same price point, 2.6. So my thoughts would either be bringing Devlin and Bencham for the double coming up, or Ndaba. That's the only two players I think apart from that. And obviously a bench against the Plymouth Rangers. I did think about Young Boy Divine, but I don't want a Motherwell double up the back. So it'll be team news dependent. Otherwise, it would be a roll. If Brown starts, then perfect. I don't need to worry about it, and I'll do it next week. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Hope that's all answered your questions. I'm going to get this podcast out as early as I can. So it was good to see you before. I'm saying this is all it doesn't matter what I'm saying because it's after the fact, people listening before the game week. So I'll let you get plugs in, guys. Tom, where can people find you?
I'm at FFS_Scout on Twitter.
Donny.
And I'm at FFS_Donny.
Right. I'm at Fantasy Ha. There'll be no podcast next week because I'm going to sunny Lisbon, so we're back a week later. But what I'll do is I'll put the tweet out as pair and we'll answer the questions the best we can before the game week starts. Okay? Hey guys, thanks very much. Bye.
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 Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.